Lord, help me. And this will be part three. And it deals with the joy of knowing that the Bible still can explain everything. Why people don't want Paul. Why people don't want true help from the living God. They want help, but they really, really don't want help. That's why it's called Lord, help me, but it has a question mark there. Help me, but really don't. Because when he tells us what he wants us to do and we don't do it, then we really don't want his help, kind of a thing. And it talks about different... We went back and we looked at some verses where people said to the Lord, help me. I remember the one in Matthew where the lady came to Jesus and said, help me. And he says, no, you're not a Jew, kind of a thing. I can't help you. And the stories, the teaching behind all that thing. And so then we just got into just a whole string of things that the Bible says why people are not helpable today. And really all we're trying to do is prepare people for the judgment seat of Christ, because if they're saved, then their soul is fine. We're just trying to, Paul says he's trying to be the helper of our joy because we stand on faith. And really all he's trying to show us to do is prepare for the judgment seat of Christ, and in the process we can please God. And apparently we don't think that pleasing God will give us the kind of life we want down here. So we go ahead and we ask for help, but we really don't want him to help us. We looked at a bunch of verses that were improperly used, but we're not here to provoke anybody to good works. That's a tribulation. You don't have to do anything. We don't have to provoke you to good works other than for pleasing God, but not because he's about to show up and all that type of thing. We mentioned, you know, serious prayer is still something you want to have the confidence. I we've had our moments where we've had to pray seriously. I mean, you really get down to the bottom brass of something. But it's still not a powerful move that you can pull on God, kind of a thing. People go off to the world and do what they're going to do, and they get in shipwrecks, they get in a mess, and they ask God to help them, and he says, I'll help you, but here's what you got to do. And most people say, well, I don't think I need that kind of help yet. So we just went down to just a huge long list of things, and here they were so far. According to Titus chapter 2, a lot of people just aren't interested in sound doctrine. They're not interested in sound doctrine. People are caught up asking foolish questions. We're going back from Titus towards Romans today. They're unruly and vain talkers and deceivers. You can't show them any help from God. There are those that profess to know God, but in works they deny him. Timothy talks about, Paul had people withstand his words. They didn't like what Paul had to say, his actual words. And we've had that battle. When somebody wants helping to tell them what the Bible says could help them, they really don't like those words. We see in Timothy also where they will not endure sound doctrine. There are Christians in 2 Timothy 3 who will actually resist the truth. They say they're Christians. They say they're Christians. But they will resist the truth. So there's a resistance there. There are some people that just can't get it. They have spent so much time learning in their schools and things, and they just can't understand God's simplistic way. There are those that don't even have the scriptures. There are those that don't understand rightly dividing, which is understandable. They've lived under profane and vain babblings for years. And how are they going to suddenly change? We know that. That's what makes it so hard to talk to people. Some people, according to Paul, are vessels of wood and earth. I mean, they're just going to stay dirt. They're not going to get it. There was a place Paul talks with Timothy about not enduring hardness. And not just because it's a hard thing to do. It's because there's hardness in this life. And some of us really have a hard time when things really get hard. So he talks. That's another way of looking at hardness. He says there's few faithful men willing and wanting to hear, let alone pass it on to somebody else. There are those who are ashamed of the complete testimony of Jesus Christ, which includes the risen Savior. Everybody wants the earthly one, and they want the one that died. They want the one that rose again, but they don't want the one who's still talking because he's risen. That seems to be a problem. We're just going through the general things. Those are all on the sermon notes there. There are those that are just trusting in uncertain riches. We'll do everything we can to make money. Love of money, all that goes with it, the sorrows, the errors from the faith and things. So there's that issue to deal with. There are those that have turned aside after Satan out there in the workforce and things. That's what Paul says it is. for the wrong one. He says, some have given heed to seducing spirits and doctrines of devils. It's hard. That's hard talk. But that's what he says. Hard to break them away from being seduced. It's hard to tell somebody that the music they're listening to really gives the devil glory, not God. That kind of talk, you know. You've got people that are more into bodily appearance than actually being a Christian. They want to look right, but they, you know, in, deep down, they're just gossipers, they're just yakkers, they're critical, they're doing everything they can to find out what's wrong with everybody else. So they're more into that bodily appearance than anything. There are those that despise the youth. I think I've told you that I've heard from this John Lejeune, the pastor down there in the South, and how his son has been writing to me. He wants to hear about the music thing. He's off to a camp now, which he says it could be a bad news, he says. So there are, we got Stephen's not on there, is he, tonight? We've got Stephen, who's about to graduate, scared to death, I can tell, because he just said, I don't know what I'm going to do. One of those high school things. But there are two kids right there, 17 and 18 years old, that are really on fire for Paul and rightly dividing. So some people just despise the youth when they come up with this sort of a thing. They can't trust them. And then yet we also got those people out there that put the kids on the street preaching thing. I don't like to see little boys preaching to adults. I just don't, any teenagers, anybody, just no right to preach to any adult. I say that a couple times because I hope somebody hears that someday. They mean well, and the kids come out just prideful as I'll get out and may even be lost. You know, a young kid like that. And then he grows up thinking he's this hot preaching guy who's possibly lost. Anyway, it's hard to say. There are those that give heed to fables. There are those that need the law. And the Bible still says we do. There are people who still need the law. So if they've never heard the law, they've never heard about God in the Old Testament, we have a lot of people that have grown up with Jesus and they don't know anything about God. They know nothing about sin and holiness and what God had to do and who God was to do what he had to do so he could have Jesus Christ come down and what Christ had to do was holy. They know nothing about God. So there's that crowd, and the law is very important with that. Then we get into the fact that there are those in Thessalonians who are too ignorant, too comfortable in life. There are those that are tired of the folly of religion, but they're burnt. They don't want to go back and try to figure out what is right, if there even is anything right in people's eyes anymore. Then we saw some people that we have a hard time talking to. They're becoming weary and doing well, and well-doing, he says. They're weary. We have those who are not willing to stand fast. They don't even know what Paul has taught. They don't realize where the strength comes on that type of thing. We'll get to that in a minute. Then we look at 2 Thessalonians chapter 1. There are those who are troubled, but they don't know the ending. That's in 2 Thessalonians chapter 1. There are those that don't trust their pastor or evangelist or whatever for various reasons. We went over those various reasons. So I've always said it's uncomfortable to talk as a pastor about a pastor because then you're preaching about either trying to glorify you in people's eyes or get support or whatever. But no, that's not what it is at all here. But there's a lot of difficulties with pastors, and I've had my difficulties with pastors. And sometimes I was wrong with how I was dealing with it. But anyway, that's a whole sermon in itself. We have those that were mad at God, even though they're mad at man. They say they're mad at the preacher or something, but they're really just mad at God, kind of a thing. Paul talks about that in Thessalonians. There are those who are ignorant of what the risen Savior has said through Paul. They just don't know. There are those that are not willing to have their faith perfected. They think they're doing fine and nobody's going to fix my faith or strengthen me at all. There's that crowd. We've got the crowd that we want to pray for the Word to have free course. There are people out there that will not allow the Word to have free course. And you would find those are the ones that when you're standing with somebody, you want to talk to somebody about something, and you bring up the Bible, and your friend is with you, and then they change the subject because they don't want to get into this. Oh, don't get into this. So somebody else steps in there, and there goes the free course of the Word of God, which is too bad. Then you've got, there are those people who are spoiled through worldly philosophy and vain deceit. I mean, the Scriptures nail everybody that doesn't want to hear about Paul. They're all in here. I was very surprised how many things made address that they actually addressed people that don't want to hear it. And we got a lot more tonight, Jeff. Philippians, there are those people who seek their own. They don't look for what God would have them to do. There are those who haven't grown up yet. Paul is all about growing up spiritually. We talked about that a number of times. We have those who are deceived with vain words, flattery. Flattery blinds. And that was the end of the first two sermons. So now let's do part three tonight. And we have here... I didn't start it. Well, good enough. Let's go to Ephesians chapter 5. We got some more reasons and more explanations of why this is getting so hard to tell people about something as simple as the teachings of the risen Savior. It's just all it really, bottom line is. And where do you find out about the teachings of the risen Savior? In the books from Romans to Philemon. And who did he talk to? He talked through Paul. And if we could get by that huge Jupiter of a block, the rest of it's easy, seems like. So anyway, here's a couple. Ephesians chapter 5, verse 7. Ephesians chapter 5, verse 7. For ye were sometimes darkness, but now are ye light in the Lord. Okay, walk as children of light. That's good. We're Christians now. For the fruit of the Spirit is in all goodness and righteousness and truth, proving what is acceptable unto the Lord. Okay, so we realize that. And yet there are those folks that says they have no fellowship with the unfruitful works of darkness. Well, part of the reason we try to talk to some people, even ourselves have difficult times, is sometimes we're being caught up with the fellowship of the unfruitful works of darkness. We still do some things in our lives that are wrong, and it quenches the Spirit of God, and your Bible reading doesn't become like it ought to be, and your mental state probably goes a little odd. And you know, those things can take place because we're still partaking with the fellowship of the unfruitful works of darkness. And then he goes on and says, but rather reprove them. He doesn't just say don't do these things, he says reprove them. You know, that's where we come in with this despise. We despise the things that we used to do, or else we still keep doing them. We could look at Timothy now, ever learning and never able to come to the knowledge of the truth. We have people that are participating in the learning world out there, and they're learning everything they could possibly learn except the truth. This is in Bible college as well. Beware lest any man spoil you through the philosophy and vain deceit after the traditions of men, after the rudiments of the world, and not after Christ. And I know we have to have education and stuff, but we're finding out that higher education is destroying most people that get involved in it. I don't know how else to put it. That's the reality of America. The colleges are destroying the ladies. They're destroying the men. They're destroying America with what they teach. Our schools are teaching our little kids that guns are bad, farmers are hicks, teachers know more than your parents. Your parents are dumb. Your church is ridiculous. I mean, then they teach all this stuff in the schools. So that has an awful lot to do with fellowshipping with the unfruitful works of darkness. Now, just for Paul's sake, I'm recognizing that much of our frustration today, I'll say this for another sermon, I think, much of our frustration is we have left the unfruitful works of darkness in a fashion where we have escaped into some church things. We've escaped into a false Christianity that is falling apart, and now we don't know what to do. And we're learning from Paul that Paul says, listen, you have to be out there. And us as adults at my age, all the things that we've all been through, we've always been able to go to church and hide away from it all. And I'm starting to recognize that as that's just all yanked away, that we're not prepared to be the Christian we're supposed to be in this world. You know what I'm saying? We're not ready for this. We need this building to hide in. No, we need this building to teach us, and that's true. Fellowship of the brethren, and that's a scriptural thing. But I'm recognizing that we've done something in our children. We keep our children from so much. We don't prepare them. And I'm not going to sound like we need to put our kids out in the world from the young. I don't want to go down that path. But I'm just seeing here that there has to be a balance with this unfruitful works of darkness. We still need to be out there. We just don't have to participate. It's tough stuff. But the reason I'm saying that is because I'm recognizing many of us who have lost the church in this country are very lonely. I mean, they're just very lonely. And all they've got is their Bible. And I shouldn't say that's all they've got. That's everything. But still, we have to work out there. We have to do what we have to do. So it's just something to think about. That may be part of our stress, is that we're losing what we've had for so many years. And what we've had for so many years, was it right, what we had? And we're finding out that it wasn't right, the way it's been done. So working on that thought. Anyway, think about that. Let's go to Ephesians chapter 4. Here's another reason that people just are so hard to talk to Paul about. Ephesians chapter 4, verse 17. You know the verses. We've been down this one before. Thus I say therefore, and testify in the Lord, that ye henceforth walk not as other Gentiles walk, in the vanity of their mind. The other Gentiles are lost people, according to the way Paul talks about it here. Okay, their understanding is darkened, they're ignorant, their heart is blinded, they're past feeling, they're caught up in lasciviousness, with work all uncleanness and greediness. It's a terrible thing. We're living and thinking like a lost person. Why would you say that? Because in verse 20, this isn't what you learned from Christ. It says there, but ye have not so learned Christ, if so that ye have heard him and been taught by him. Well, if you've heard the risen Savior, and you've heard the risen Christ, and you've been taught by the risen Christ, then we wouldn't be thinking and acting like a lost person. We have to watch for that one. So when you're talking to a Christian about Paul or whatever, a King James Bible or whatever, they're thinking like a lost person. They don't know what you're talking about. Why is that? They're ignorant. Their heart is blinded. And they've given up. They've given themselves over to the worldly ways, to the lasciviousness. They've given themselves over to their flesh. And you're just not going to get anywhere with them. That's what we see going on there. Look at Ephesians chapter 4, verse 1. We get to talking to some people here. Therefore, the prisoner of the Lord beseech you that you walk worthy of the vocation where you're called, with all lowliness and meekness, with long suffering, forbearing one another in love, endeavoring to keep the unity of the Spirit in the bond of peace. And my thought for all those verses right in there is the fact that there are a lot of people that just do not want to keep peace. I mean, they're not going to do what they can to make it work. He does say in Romans 12, he says, if it be possible, as much as lieth in you, live peaceably with all men. He says, as much as possible. Now, during the tribulation, they will have to. But in Paul's time, the dispensation of grace, you do the best you can to live peaceably with all men. Knowing, of course, that after grace and mercy and long-suffering and patience, and you've learned to despise what hurt you in your past, and you want to destroy the magnificent for your children so they don't like it, that after a while, you realize that you actually have to reprove and rebuke somebody because they're bringing it back into your life. And now it's time to not live peaceably, if this is what they're trying to do. For somebody to leave their home, for somebody to leave the job, sometimes, or the church or whatever, if all attempts of living peaceably have taken place, then Paul does say to take a hike. But basically, we've got people out there that come into the churches to specifically cause unrest. We've got them on the internet all the time. I mean, on the Pal Talk back there, there's always somebody bopping in trying to cause. Oh, by the way, Ranger, if he pops up, just block him. There's people that's what they think God would have them to do, is to go out there and just stir up the misery and the mess. Now, I understand in our case with Paul, but that's still not the way Paul would have us do it. To go out there and destroy the peace of some place to get your point made, kind of a deal. We look at 1 Thessalonians chapter 2. I mean, here's Paul telling everybody to live peaceably with all men, yet in 1 Thessalonians chapter 2, verse 2, Paul says, but even after that we had suffered before and were shamefully entreated, as you know, at Philippi, we were bold in our God to speak unto you the gospel of God with much contention. And if there's contention, there's no peace. So, Paul tells us to live peaceably with all men, but if you can't, you stick up for what's right. He says in Titus, these things speak and exhort and rebuke with all authority, let no man despise thee. I'm working on a sermon on this authority thing again. If you speak with any kind of authority to somebody, scriptural authority, of course, but you're still going to sound confident, you're going to be shown these verses, they don't like that. They just don't like the fact that you come across like, well, you act like you've got all the answers. Well, we do. We're still learning them, though. But I can help you get into your book, and you can find the answers for you. And that's speaking very authoritatively. I mean, you talk about somebody turning aside after Satan, I can speak like that with all authority to ladies. I mean, that's exactly what the Bible says. I didn't write it. I'm sorry it says that. I know you need the second income or the third income or the income, but that is what it says. Or even for us men, what Paul would have us say through Titus as he was preaching to Titus. Some hard stuff there. That's the way we're supposed to be. We should be able to do that. So, keeping peace is one thing, but flattering and overlooking things to a point is not keeping peace. It's unscriptural. It's flattery, and it blinds people and blinds children, etc. Matter of fact, if you look at 2 Timothy chapter 2, verse 24, which I think you've already got marked, Paul even says right there, the servant of the Lord must not strive. That's what he says, 2 Timothy 2, verse 24. But be gentle unto all men, apt to teach. In other words, we need to teach people what Paul is saying and get a chance to show them the Bible. In meekness, instructing those that oppose themselves. And here he's talking about that, and yet he spoke the gospel of God with much contention. And he had situations like that. Matter of fact, look at 2 Corinthians chapter 7. So we realize that Paul says one thing, and yet there's always exceptions. And so we can't turn into this milky milkweed Christian, out of place, out of sorts with the world, and we need to be out there amongst it, but we need to stand for what's right. He says in 2 Corinthians chapter 7, talk about not getting along with, or not living peaceable with all men. He says in verse 8, for though I made you sorry with a letter, I do not repent, though I did repent, for I perceive that the same epistle hath made you sorry, though it were but for a season. So there's Paul, he preached the message in the way we look at it. He wrote this letter to these people and must have clobbered them because they were made sorry. And he felt bad that he said what he had to say, but he said, but I didn't feel bad because I know I had to say that. Then he goes on and says, now I rejoice, not that you were made sorry. So he made them feel bad. When he says, not that ye were made sorry, Paul made them feel sorry. And nowadays, that's not living peaceably with all men. To preach a message or to show somebody something that makes them feel sorry, in other words, hurt or angered or whatever, feel bad or whatever, that's looking for a bruising anymore. But Paul says he did that. Why? Because he were made sorry after a godly manner. How do you make somebody sorry after a godly manner? Godly manner. Use your Bible. That is, they have to be a Bible believer, though. See? That you might receive damage by us and nothing. He didn't mean to hurt him. For godly sorrow worketh repentance to salvation. Not to be repented of, but the sorrow of the world worketh death. So godly sorrow is quite often very hard medicine to take. And it still has nothing to do with not keeping peace, living peaceably with all men. But if you preach the truth, you will not be living peaceably with all men. It's just not going to happen anymore. Look at Ephesians chapter 3. Here's another one. These are just reasons, and you got to go through all the other ones to hear why these things are so hard to get across to people today. Here's another one. It's in Ephesians chapter 3, verse 13. And I had to think about this a little bit. Wherefore I desire that ye faint not of my tribulations for you, which is your glory. So there are some people that don't want to learn this stuff. They don't want to get into this. They don't want to get active because look what it's done to the pastor. I mean, why can't he just do a simple, nice little message? Or why can't we just have a nice little church here and be that kind of a thing? And so they, as a result, they don't get involved in this thing. It's hard to tell them these things. Yes, but if you say that, you know you're going to make them mad. So Paul says, wherever I desire that ye faint not, wherefore I desire that ye faint not at my tribulations for you. He's doing it for you, which is your glory. And I got to thinking, look at Philippians chapter 1. I got to thinking here, and I look forward to talking to him almost every day. Philippians chapter 1, verse 12. Paul says again, but I would you should understand, brethren, that the things which happen unto me have fallen out rather into the furtherance of the gospel, so that my bonds in Christ are manifest in all the palace and in all other places. So Paul was going to jail over this stuff. He was being hassled. He was, but yet he said it was for the furtherance of the gospel. So this man, this new pastor that's just getting into these things, we pretty much know what he's going to get into. He's going to be hurt. He's going to hurt people. He's going to meet hardness head on. We know it's coming. It's going to affect his health. He will experience harassment like he's never experienced it before. Unless he was a music teacher. He will see hypocrisy. How are you going to deal with hypocrisy? Although Paul never talks about hypocrisy, there are so many things that we should be doing as a Christian that are not hard to do, but we choose not to through Paul. And he'll see that within their homes now. That'll be his emphasis. He will have to even deal with himself, because he knows that he doesn't deserve to be in that pulpit preaching. But we know what Christ has done for us, so God allows that through his grace. He will have to deal with his family. Not all family members get a hold of Jesus. Jesus says, you have no honor in your own kin. Profess no honor with his own family. So he's going to have to deal with the fact that his family's not going to all get it. He's already had to deal with honorable and devout women in the church. He's going to learn what that's like. He's going to have to learn how to deal with helpless and men who just don't have it to do anything anymore. He'll have to deal with that. But see, through all those things that will be taking place in this poor guy's life, those that are concerned about the church and are concerned about the truth should be encouraged because of what he's going through. Not weakened. Well, look at yourself, Pastor. It's already knocking you down. Yeah, but this stuff is worth fighting for. We've got to get this out. We've got to find a way to make this work. If this doesn't work, we'll make it work somewhere else. Why can't this work here? Why can't we get over the block wall we keep running into, and why can't we make it work here? And the stress, well, maybe it's just too much for you. Well, maybe it is. But one of the reasons people don't want to get into this stuff, because they just don't like to see it. He says that the tribulations a pastor is going to go through to get people to get this stuff, they just don't want to be part of it. It's too hard on them. Look at Ephesians chapter 3, verse 16. Hopefully you would be strengthened by the challenges we have here in this church, but it is taking its toll. Ephesians chapter 3, verse 16. And praise the Lord, I'm not going to jail over anything. Now I don't even like that thought. Ephesians 3:16, that he would grant you according to the riches of his glory to be strengthened with might by his Spirit in the inner man. Okay, so some folks don't want to get into Paul because they don't understand what the strength is. It's going to be a lot of work for John to go over things. Where is he going to get his strength? Is he going to get his strength from being sinless in his walk? Is he going to get his strength from confession? You know, confessing his sins? Does he get his strength from the church and from the fellowship of the church? Is he going to get his strength from a pastor that will help him? Is he going to get his strength in his music? Maybe the music will get him going, that kind of a thing. Maybe he's going to get his strength in uncertain riches, but it is good to have them. Is that our strength? Has that been us? Was our strength in the past because we tried to stop from doing things wrong? Is our strength in the past because some folks were good prayers and confessioners? Is our strength, do we get our strength by coming to church every Sunday and Wednesday night to meet the people and to have fellowship with them and to see what's going on? There's strengthening that takes place there, but is that the only place you could get your strength? Is that what we've done? Have I been your only source of strength with the messages, the preachings? Do you go home and do you play music and listen to music and for your strength? No, we know from Paul, 2 Timothy chapter 2, we know from Paul where the strength is from. The strength is in God's grace. We have to realize when something goes wrong or something's crumbling, we just thank God for his grace. Only by the grace of God am I still here. Only by the grace of God are you still here. Only by the grace of God I made it through the dentist's office. Only by the grace of God I've made it through back surgery. Because none of us have ever deserved to have a fixed back. None of us have ever deserved to have the pulpit. You know, it's God's grace. And when we trip up, we ought to be spanked. But God's grace says, that's okay, get up and keep going. That gives us strength. Why would it give us strength? Because we're supposed to be the Christian adult. Try that on a little kid, and he's gonna take advantage. Give him a mile, give him a foot, and take a mile. But we're not supposed to be that way as Christians. Here's another one, Ephesians chapter 3. So I hope you get your strength from the right place. God's grace. Learn about God's grace. It was about a month ago. We went through all the elements of grace. And it is just so much more than just grace. It's our strength. Okay, Ephesians chapter 3, verse 2. Here's a problem we have with people. I'm getting there. Here we go. Ephesians chapter 3, verse 2. If ye have heard of the dispensation of the grace of God, which is given me to you. Well, part of the problem, we talk to the people, they've never heard of this. They've never heard of this. What are you talking about, the dispensation of the grace of God? Well, why have you never heard of this? It says right there, for this cause I, Paul, the prisoner of Jesus Christ, for you Gentiles, if ye have heard of the dispensation of the grace of God, which is given me to you, how that by revelation he made known unto me the mystery. And then he goes on and talks about that. Well, have you talked to them? They've never heard of this before. Pastors don't talk about this stuff. So that's a tough one. There's people that they're unlearned. They just have never heard this before. It's amazing. Look at Ephesians chapter 2, verse 8. Verse 8. For by grace are ye saved through faith, and not of yourselves. It is the gift of God, not of works, lest any man should boast. You know, I've come to realize, I'm talking to people, they really can't accept the fact that God would do what God said he did. Walk the law, fulfill the law, give it to us by our faith in him. Meaning he's taken care of the law. There's no longer law for righteousness. A spiritual circumstance, a spiritual operation. Our sins are not imputed. There's no law to say that that's a sin. Well, I can't believe that God would do something like that. Well, I realize that, but that is what it says. So the things that we do wrong, you can just go party? Well, we can answer that in here. God has an answer for that. There are things you can do now that you can please God that you couldn't before. But you certainly don't have to worry about all the things that people are being told to worry about. No chastisement other than in words in a Bible. And God's going to burn off the bad works and reward for the good and this type of a thing. Yeah, that's what God's going to do. They can't get over that. Why can't they get over that? Look at Romans chapter 1. They can't get over that because they just don't think God is God. I mean, listen, God has tried to do it for Adam and Eve, and that messed up, so he took care of that. God tried to do it for Abraham, and that got messed up, and we pay for that today. God tried to do it for Moses, and he couldn't go to the promised land, but he still got the job done in there. God tried to do it for the Jews, and they blew it. So then he said, listen, I'm going to come down, and I'm going to do it, and then I'm going to give you my record. Well, they don't want that. They're being taught that they still need to try to do it right. They never did it in the Old Testament. They were not able to do it during the Gospels. Why does anybody today think that they can walk clean enough in their life to receive God's blessings? Confessing. They can confess their sins. You can't possibly think you confess all your sins. You can't possibly get them all. And why would you want to spend... I mean, you're saying that you can do what you want and then confess them? And then you crab at us for doing what we want and we don't have to confess them because Christ gives us his record and the whole story? You're no different than what you're complaining about me. But that's... Romans chapter 1, verse 21. Because that when they knew God, they glorified him not as God. We've got little kids that know about God, But by the time they grow up, they have no idea about God and what kind of glory should God get. Well, God came down here, manifested Himself in the flesh, and He fixed everything for our souls. He took care of that. Our kids aren't going to be taught that. It says, neither were thankful, but became vain in their imaginations, and their foolish heart was darkened. Professing themselves to be wise, they became fools, and changed the glory of the uncorruptible God into an image made like to corruptible man. They can't figure out that God did what He said He did because they wouldn't have done it, and so they don't get that. So there's that problem. They think that they still have to have something to do with it. They still got to invite them in, or they've got to repent first, or they've got to just say a little prayer, kind of a thing. You know, they need to clean up their act before they can get saved. All this kind of a stuff. That's just crazy. Ephesians chapter 2. Here's another one. Ephesians chapter 2. Verse 12 and 13. That should be 1. Should be Ephesians 1, 12 and 13, if I remember right. Yeah. And that's where he talks about there's a lot of people that haven't done what verse 13 says. Would you run upstairs and just kind of check the cassette to see how much it looks like it's on there? Okay. It says there in verse 13, in whom ye also trusted. You know, maybe people haven't trusted Him. Maybe they've asked Him into their heart. Maybe they've confessed their sins for forgiveness, but they're not trusting Him. Trusting Him with what? Well, why don't you know what He's done? Why don't you know that? So how do you trust somebody who you don't know what He did? So maybe part of the problem we're having with people is they just never have trusted Him. Maybe part of that trust breakdown goes to what? Well, maybe they never believed what they heard. Isn't that the thing going backwards there? So maybe they didn't trust because they didn't believe what they heard. Maybe they didn't hear anything. So how can they believe and trust if they never heard anything? Maybe they even heard it, but it wasn't from the Word of Truth. Maybe what they heard it from wasn't from the gospel of their salvation. Maybe it wasn't the Word of Truth that they heard, and they believed in another Jesus, and they're trusting in another Jesus. That's very possible. And if you can back up the teachings of this another Jesus with some teachings that aren't what Jesus taught through Paul, there's what we're dealing with. That's a hard one to deal with, because those people think they're Christians. It's not my call to say they're not, but if they haven't heard from the Word of Truth, or they didn't hear it in the first place, or they never believed, or they never trusted, then they're not a Christian. But they could be made thought they were, because then there were three, they asked Jesus into their heart. All sorts of different things we're dealing with. That could be a tough problem. That could be the problem. Ephesians 1, 12 and 13. If you're looking at... Look at Ephesians chapter 1, verse 3. Here's an issue we're dealing with. Verse 4. According as He has chosen us in Him before the foundation of the world, that we should be holy and without blame before Him in love, having predestinated us into the adoption of children by Jesus Christ to Himself. What's the problem there? There's people that think God called them and chose them. They think that He's chosen that person. That person thinks He's been chosen before the foundation of the world, and that He is holy and without blame. He thinks God chose them. That have you heard that? That's Calvinism, major. And America's full of that. America's the chosen country. America's the country that replaced the Jews. Christians replaced the Jew because God has called me to replace that position, and He's called me to be that. I'm chosen. So how do you talk to those folks? They're a tough one to talk to. Let's look, I think we've got time. Let's look at another one here. Let's go here to 1 Corinthians chapter 2. Here's another one we're dealing with when we try to talk to people. 1 Corinthians chapter 2, verse 9. Sorry if I don't sound all pumped and fired up. I want to be doing this book sermon. That's the one I want to get into. And another thing Sunday that will help us see some Paul differences. That's the stuff I want to be doing. This is interesting stuff, and it needs to be known. And as I go through these things, me personally, I can just about name a couple people for every one of these that I've talked to that are this way. And they're not getting it. So, I guess it's instructional. It's educational. It doesn't encourage us a whole lot because here's all the reasons people don't want to listen to us. But I like it because the Bible tells us that. The Bible's got everything in it. That's kind of my point more than anything here. So we're looking at 1 Corinthians chapter 2. Now here's a tough crowd to talk to. Verse 9. See, and I've been to this one. I've been part of this crowd. But as it is written, I have not seen nor heard, nor neither have entered into the heart of man the things which God hath prepared for them that love Him. But God hath revealed them unto us by His Spirit. For the Spirit searcheth all things, yea, the deep things of God. For what man so knoweth the things of a man, save the spirit of man, which is in him? Even so the things of God knoweth no man, but the Spirit of God. Now we have received not the spirit of the world, but the Spirit which is of God, that we might know the things that are freely given to us of God. Which things also we speak, not in the words which man's wisdom teacheth, but which the Holy Ghost teacheth, comparing spiritual things with spiritual. But the natural man receiveth not the things of the Spirit of God, for they are foolishness unto him. Neither can he know them, because they are spiritually discerned. But he that is spiritual judgeth all things, yet he himself is judged of no man. So here we got these verses that tell people that God gave that natural man, He gave them the Spirit of God, and because He's got the Spirit of God, now he knows all these things. And these kind of Christians are all over the place. Because what don't they need? They don't need the Word of God. They don't need a pastor. They don't need a preacher. They don't need anybody else to teach them anything, because the Spirit of God is going to teach them all that they know. And that's what you're dealing with. It's a lot of those kind of people. Look at 1 John. Here's what they're claiming. I remember reading that verse, those verses a long time ago, thinking this is going to be exciting. I'm going to start thinking like Christ does now because I've got the mind of Christ. Boy, it didn't take me long to realize that I'm not thinking like I should be thinking. I'm not making some great decisions here, and I'm a Christian, and where's God's blessing in my brain here? Well, maybe it's because I'm still doing some things wrong. The TV, George Burns, I mean, what am I doing wrong here that God is not getting through to me here? And then I realize here, verse 27 of 1 John chapter 2, this person today believes that they're anointed. I'm not talking about the Pentecostal crowd. The Pentecostal crowd, they do believe they're anointed, and they prove it by speaking in tongues. I'm talking about the King James guys, the Bible-believing guys, the street preaching guys, the people that don't read their Bible. They go to church, but you can't teach them anything when they're sitting down there. You try to talk to them and get anywhere with them about any of this kind of stuff about Paul. It's because God's never told them that. Because it says in verse 27, "The anointing which ye have received of Him abideth in you, and ye need not that any man teach you. But as the same anointing teacheth you of all things, and is truth, and is no lie." So these people believe that God is teaching them things by their existence, by their prayers, by their feelings of their hearts. Maybe a couple Bible verses reach out to them a little bit, even if it's in Exodus or Ezekiel or Revelation or something. You know kind of what I'm saying? And they're missing something. They're missing that in 1 Corinthians 13:8, that kind of knowledge, that kind of stuff from God was done in part, which is true, but they don't realize that when that which is perfect has come, which is this King James Bible, I believe that without a shadow of a doubt, shut that thing down, and now God does not talk to us that way. He talks to us through our Bible reading. That's our position here at this church. And that's my position as a preacher and as a Christian. If I want to hear from God, I've got to open this thing up. Or go by the memories of the verses I've had, or whatever. And why can't you talk to people about this stuff with Paul? Because God has never told them that. Well, excuse me there, but God is telling you right now, through my Bible, I'm telling you this, I'm showing you about Paul, God's telling you that. Why are you not picking up on this? Well, I just don't believe that. God has never told me that. Well, excuse me, God is telling you that right now. But, you know, I used to say to people, I realize it's not the thing to say anymore because it's very sarcastic and it's not funny to them at all. And I say, don't you pray for the truth? Don't you just pray for God to show you the truth? And they go, I always do. And I say, well, I'm your answer to your prayer. And here it is. Let me show you something. And you've lost them. But I'm the answer to your prayer. But seriously, if you ask somebody that, and so I'm always praying for the truth. Well, here's the answer to your prayer. I can show you, and there's your answer. But they don't want it from there because of all these other reasons. So how much time do you think? Okay. Let's look at a couple more here. See, that one bothers me a lot, too, because they don't care what you say. It gets worse than that. They don't care what that Bible says. You show them. They don't care what I don't care what the Bible says. I know what I believe. And God told me. Butterfly lady. Oh, please. You know? It's just amazing to try to show them this stuff. Well, we could do not walking like a new creature. The old man here, Galatians chapter 6 here. Let's go to Galatians chapter 6. Let's do another one here. We'll just kind of pick a few more at the end here. Galatians chapter 6. Just some other things about, I know it's a lot of stuff. You probably would have been easier if you had your own notes. Galatians chapter 6. Here's a problem we have to deal with. And it's going to sound odd because it's out of Galatians. So we're talking about the Jews are involved, the circumcised here, the law people. But I've always, I consider when we read about the law, that Paul deals with those people that preach the law, the Jewish, that we're still looking at the Great Commission the same way, because it's just a gospel law, same kind of a thing. So keep that in mind when you read this here. Verse 12. As many as desire to make a fair show in the flesh. Okay, so there's people out there that want to look like a Christian. They constrain you to be circumcised. Okay, they constrain you to do the law, to follow the law. Not the spiritual circumcision. This is a physical circumcision. So a Jew wants to get you to do what they're doing. Why is that? Only lest they should suffer persecution for the cross of Christ. Why? What does that mean? Because it says, for neither they themselves who are circumcised keep the law, so they don't do it, but desire to have you circumcised that they may glory in your flesh. Now, in our terminology today, you're trying to dress right, talk right, do something different in your life. You're trying to grow up as a Christian. And there are those people out there that Great Commission Christians, they want to be a good Christian. But they don't dress right, talk right, go right, that kind of stuff. But they're still going to be that good Christian. They're going to do anything they can to get you to go their way. They're going to get you to not be quite so modest. They're going to get you to start watching this all the time. They're going to get you to start going to these places all the time. They're going to get you to try to back off somewhat. Why is that? And it says right there, verse 13, that they may glory in your flesh. It's an amazing thing. I've come to realize this. It's a strange thing. I see it here all the time, everywhere else too, I guess. It's an amazing thing that Christians want to see you back off. I've seen it on Facebook. I've seen it in different people. I hear about it in different people's situations. I guess the biggest place is I've seen it on Facebook. I see people going backwards with modesty and language and movies and TV, all the entertainment, the evil corrupt, evil communications that are out there. I'm seeing more and more Christians going back that way because they were encouraged by somebody else who had already gone back and was having a great time. Well, I don't mind wearing these. It's no big deal. Before you know it, you're wearing those. I don't mind going there. It's been a lot of fun. The kids have had a lot of fun going to this place. You know what happens? Pretty soon, your kids are going there. This isn't such a big thing. And here, you want to watch this? Well, sure. This is what I'm seeing here. This is how I explain this thing. Neither they themselves who are circumcised keep the law. So here's these Jews that are lousy Jews. But they want to get you to be a Jew so you can mess up and it makes them feel good. Does that make sense? They're all over the place. And I imagine we've probably done the same thing, I guess. If we see somebody that's trying to live a higher standard than you have, then you tend to try to get them to come your side. You know? Humorous as it is, deep down it really is a wrong thing. Let's say, for example, somebody who wants to watch how they eat, and you learn what their favorite candy bar is, and what do? You buy them the favorite candy bar. Makes them trip up a little bit. Makes you feel better. See? Now, it's a humorous thing, and it didn't cause you to die 10 years early or anything, but that's what we're looking at here. We're looking at somebody like Marilyn Kinch, who is healthier than all of us put together in one basket, and her favorite candy bar is a Baby Ruth candy bar. Some guy comes along here and finds out about that, and what do you think this guy does? What do you think? Gets her a Baby Ruth candy bar. Now, you know, that's what people try to do to us. They see you wearing sleeves to here. You know what they want? They want to see you put your sleeves to here. They see the dress to there. They see the hair. They hear what you say. They hear where you won't go. But they can get you to go to this one because eventually you go to this one. Is it legalism? No, but Paul is very adamant about the fact that we're not to cause anybody to go backwards. We're just not. That's a terrible thing to do to somebody. If that's what he says, if that's a sin to them, if that's a problem, then don't put it in front of them. So I'm sorry. But that's what they're trying to do. I'm sure we realize that this community would love to see this place go down. I don't want to have that happen. We know what's happening, but we don't want to see that happen. We know that there's people in this town that want to see you change your Christianity in some form or another. You're just a little bit too much of the Paul thing. They want to see you go down that way. And so we're trying to talk to these people. In the meantime, they're hoping that you go backwards. So the next time you go see them and you backed off somewhat, they're thrilled. And you want to maintain a friendship with that person, you know what you're going to have to do? You're going to have to be the one to give. And we're talking family and everything here. The home family, personal family, the whole thing. You've got to give to stay loved, I suppose. Just look at it that way. And Paul says the more he loved, the more abundantly he loved, and by doing right, the less he was loved. And we're almost, none of us are almost ready for that sort of a thing. So, let's do one more here. Or should I just save this for another time? I'm not ready with the big chunk. Yeah, we'll stop right there. We'll stop right there. It's marvelous stuff that Bible tells us why people don't want the Bible. But God ought to know. He's been there. He knows why people don't want Him. And He told us all about it. The hard thing is we're there too. We're all in that thing too.